you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Believe You Me with your hosts, Michael Bisping and the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Mr. Luis J. Gomez himself. It is Wednesday, second show of the week, UFC 247 or 8 or whichever one it is. Jones versus Reyes is happening this weekend. We're going to break that down. We're going to get into all the mixed martial arts madness, the topics, the picks, who's going to win, why they're going to win, all that type of stuff. But before we do that, you know the drill. We're going to waste 30 minutes of your life trying to make you laugh and talking about some random bollocks. Lewis, without further ado, what have you got in terms of random bollocks? What do you have? I mean,
a lot. It's my whole life. My whole life is random bollocks. I don't know. I live my life like a big kid.
Oh, listen, if you're a homosexual man, that's fine for you. If you're out there and you're searching for random bollocks on a night out, I know you're single these days, but if you want random bollocks, good for you, man. I'm more of a vagina type myself, but you like bollocks. All hey, good.
Man. Hey, man, you pop a blue chew. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows where you end up at the end of the night? I've been having a good week. Been back in the gym, feeling nice. Down about 13 pounds. But by the way, that's just happening for me, by the way. I'm barely even trying. That's just life.
This has to stop. Number one, we can't keep talking over one another, but you've got to stop this. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about Lewis's workout routine because he's obsessed with it. Look at him there, flexing the bicep. I got to say, it's not a bad gun. It looks like, oh, God, and now the other one. He is working out constantly. He is preaching on Instagram. He is tagging me. He said earlier, I don't even care. I'm like, well, why do you tag me constantly? Okay, Lewis, you're obsessed. You're preaching. You're annoying people. You know, you're showing off, but I like it. It's good. For you. You're improving yourself.
Well, first of all, shout out to the Titan, Mike O'Hearn, for giving us his awesome patented workout. I've been following it. I do love it. And it is douchey. I will admit that it is very douchey. I made a commitment that I would only keep the working out posts to my Instagram timeline. So you have to click on my picture. And just know if you click on my picture, you're going to fucking either be disgusted or inspired. Depends on what you're looking for. Okay.
How much weight have you lost so far?
Probably about 12 pounds, but the weight, I'm not freaking out about losing weight. I just really want to do the workouts and be focused on eating healthy. Like, I haven't been cutting out carbs completely. Like, I've just been cutting out gluten and sugar. So I'll have a little bit of potatoes or have a little bit of rice there, I keep it minimal, but I'm not freaking out about food the same way that I would be if I was doing like a crazy keto thing. I think this is a more, I could just sustain this for longer.
Yeah, well, you better try harder because Michael Hearn, let me tell you, he is obsessed. He texted me yesterday and he said, you staying on point, meaning with the diet and the workout regime and all that stuff. And the reality is the workout side of things, yes, I'm staying on point. I'm doing the workouts religiously. I'm doing the cardio. I'm doing the weights. I'm doing the abs. I'm stretching. You're not doing the abs. I asked you about that the other day. You said you're starting that next week. There's no starting next week. It's pointless. Just doing 300 sit-ups a day.
I have a big fat fucking stomach. You're not going to see my abs until the summer until I lose all the fat over my abs first.
It's all called exercise. It's all calorie burning. You're going to diminish the fat. But anyway, so he messages me, you're staying on point. And my response was, yeah, you bet. I'm down from 228 pounds to 218 this morning. I'm on the diet 90%, 100% with the workouts, right? I thought I was pretty happy with that. I'm down 10 pounds. He sends me back a voicemail. By the way, if you're listening, Mike, shout out, Mike, because he's a great guy. Sends me back like a long voice message. He's a very concerned tone of voice. He's like, you should be down more than that. You should be down more than that. I'm concerned. Send me a picture of you with your shirt off right now. I need to analyze it. I need to see if you're overtraining. I need to see if you're whatever. He said, don't worry, I'm not going to post it. And then he sends another one and he's right. He said, hold on, the cardio. You're one of these crazy fucking cardio guys. You got to keep your heart rate down to around the 130 BPM zone. Obviously, if you go too high, you work in the cardiovascular system. You're not in the optimal fat burning zone, you know. So he's giving me a lot of credit. I'm like, fucking hell, I'm not working out that hard, buddy. But yeah, I mean, how much weight have you lost? Michael Hearn is not impressed by your performance.
He wouldn't be impressed with mine because I'm not strict with the diet like that. I'm very strict with my diet, but I also know myself. I've gone up and down. I used to weigh 340 pounds. I've gone down to 185 pounds. I've been fucking shredded with abs, and I've been a big fat fucking potato. So I know myself to a certain degree, yeah?
What have you eaten today? Because I'm intermittent fasting. Now, remember, on this program, we're supposed to fast all day on a Sunday. I'll be honest. I'm just throwing it out there. I haven't done it once, okay? I have not done that once. Sunday just gone. I got to 5:30 p.m. though without eating anything, which I was very impressed with. But I am intermittent fasting. Most days, I'm not eating now until about 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Lewis, though, tell me about the bagels, the ham, the cheese, the pizza that you've had so far.
I'm doing gluten-free. I already said that. Gluten-free. I'm being very strict about that. Okay. Ooh. And no, what I have today, I had beef jerky today. I had a protein.
Beef jerky?
Beef jerky. I had a protein shake after my workout.
Trading Places on the train at the end. Beef jerky? Beef jerky? I think it's Dan Aykroyd's character in blackface. Very, very racist these days. I don't see him getting canceled. Anyway, continue.
I hope they use this to cancel him. I hope this is the moment that you start. You're the guy who fucking cancels Dan Aykroyd. Michael Bisping, of all people.
Do you think Dan Aykroyd gives a fuck? He's got his Crystal Head vodka. He's very famous. You know, he's lived his life. He's had his career. Fine. He couldn't give a fuck. Beef jerky. Carry on.
Yeah. And then I had a latte, and then they had pizza after our production meeting today. So I peeled the cheese and the pepperoni off of a slice, and I had the cheese. And people look at me with disgust. They get so angry that I would dare fucking – and it is obnoxious, but I did it anyway.
Hey. No. You're eating pizza the wrong way. When you're on a diet, there's a very specific way that you enjoy pizza. Our good friend Uriah Hall, a guy that I've had a little friction with over the years, my good friend Uriah Hall, he's developed an outrageous way of eating pizza where you don't actually ingest the calories, but you get the enjoyment. Can we roll tape, please, guys? Here we go.
That's hilarious.
So you sniff the pizza, then you bite celery. Then you sniff the pizza.
Lettuce.
Bite the celery. No. Oh, sorry, lettuce. Yeah, whatever. Lettuce. Tasteless green shit, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, that is funny. I mean, good for him. But whenever I saw that, I just thought he should really have a Snickers. And the reason I said that is because, obviously, we were in the same weight division and we trained together a little bit at Rain Training Center. We had a couple of like little things here and there, whatever. He talked shit about me. I forget what it was, in an interview or whatever. And then did he miss weight or something? I'm not sure what it was, but I was doing the pre-show for Fox Sports and I said something and then he talked shit. And then Callum tweeted at him, oh, eat a Snickers. And then I think he blocked Callum. So that was pretty funny and pretty petty. But anyway, there you go. Yeah. And I'll tell you another one who blocked Callum, my son, who don't know who Callum is. Anthony Pettis has blocked my son on Instagram.
Why?
Pettis, if you're listening, I love you, buddy. I'm a big fan, but unblock my son. He cries himself to sleep every night.
Why did he block your son? First of all, I will say Callum, and I do love Callum. Callum, he's known to troll. He's known to get on the Reddit sphere. He's great, dude. Fucking up. Very intelligent kid. And he's opinionated too. So he'll go on Twitter, Instagram, and he'll post opinions about shit, right? So maybe that's why. Did he say something disparaging about? I almost feel like I can't believe that fighters can't disconnect from that. You maybe you have a different perspective because you're on both sides of it in such a big way, in such an extreme way. So you were a fighter for such a long time in the spotlight, and then afterwards you became an analyst and a podcaster who, you know, people were looking at your opinions. Has it changed? It must have, right? Your opinion on that has changed because back in the day you did tell me you would get offended sometimes when somebody would pick somebody else or they would say something disparaging. But since then, you've even said you have to make that pick sometimes and the microphone's there and, you know, sometimes it's not always your friend. But are you surprised that fighters are so thin-skinned about something like that, even with somebody who's a fighter's kid? It's not even somebody in the media?
Yeah, I don't know. See, I asked Callum, I said, listen, there must be a reason why he blocked you. In fact, I was telling Chael Sonnen this, and Callum was with us, and Chael was like, come on, Callum, tell us the truth. And he says, no. He said, I'm a massive fan of Anthony Pettis. He said, this actually really bothers me that he's blocked me. But so if you're listening, Anthony, come on. Let Callum, or should I say Condom, back into your life. But I do block people. I block people all the time, like on a regular.
But not people that are just talking. You're talking about like internet trolls talking shit. You're like, all right, I'll just block you. Cool. I'm talking about somebody like says something that just like they pick a different fighter or whatever it is. It's not like Callum's like actually trolling people.
No, he's not. I'm just looking for this back and forth that I had the other day. I had one the other day with somebody.
I don't give while you're looking for that, I'll tell you, I don't give people the satisfaction of blocking them. The only way, if you want to get blocked by me, a good way to get blocked is if you post something on a picture of my kid, something that his mom's gonna see, and you know, I'll just block you because I don't fuck around. It's like, but if you want to troll me or say something about me, I would rather almost like take the bullets to make my
I don't, there's no giving them satisfaction of blocking you. It's just, fuck you, you're done, you're out of my life. Like these days I don't get too much negativity, but obviously social media, you know, it is a platform where people that have problems, that have insecurities about themselves, which is generally what it is, because I don't understand the logic or the reasoning why somebody would go to somebody's page, somebody that they've choose to follow, and then just spout such negativity and venom at a random person. Do you know what I mean? They wouldn't do that in real life. So if somebody does that to me, I just go, yeah, well, I don't want to see that. I'm not giving them satisfaction. I'm just like, all right, block this random insignificant screen name that I don't know. It has no meaning to me that I never want to see again. And you don't now get the privilege of watching my amazing posts. Okay. So fuck you, motherfucker. Block. That is- I will block all day.
That is a different, you know, it's a different philosophy on it. I respect it. I'm not hating on you. For me personally, I just don't want, I don't even want to let him know that I even saw it. I ignore it. I have one guy who sends me a message. He doesn't know that I see it because it's in my other box on Instagram. Every day on every post and everything that I do, he just responds with the word fat.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, just block the cunt.
No.
So just respond, blocked, okay?
Yeah, but.
Because you're not letting him win, you're not letting him know that you've seen it, you know, just block him.
Can I say this though? The reason it doesn't bother it, I feel like at this point I've gotten so much hate on the internet that it is just, I'm sort of like desensitized to it in a big way. So I feel like if I block people, it would sort of be this volley like back and forth where I'm continuing to allowing it to bother me. At this point, people have said such crazy shit about me, my kid. I have a guy who literally threatened to find my kid and kill him. I have a guy on Instagram. I won't even block him. I didn't even block him.
I know where this stems from. Because if you block them, your follower number goes down by one. And he's like, I need all the followers I can get. Listen, don't be so insecure. You'll get more followers. Listen, we'll put your Twitter on this show. You're going to get more followers. Just block these motherfuckers. The funny thing is, when somebody abuses somebody, as soon as, you know, somebody that has a platform that's in the limelight, I won't say famous because I hate that word, but as soon as, you know, you respond to that troll, that asshole, whatever you want to call them, a lot of the time they change the tune. I woke up Sunday morning. I looked at my private messages just for something to do. You know, you do like once a day, see what assholes have contacted you or whatever's in there. And there's some guy, and he's just, I forget what he said. You're a prick. You're a fat shit. Look at you, you asshole. You ain't shit, Bisping. Go fuck yourself. Something along those lines. And I responded back with, wow, you're a real fucking piece of shit, aren't you? I suggest go getting a life. Or I don't know. I gave him some some shit. And I said, oh, by the way, blocked. But I forgot to press block because I think my daughter was around the corner or something, you know, something distracted me. And he messages back, oh, sorry, Mike, why are you being so mean? I'm like, why am I being so mean? I said, have you read your fucking text to me, you piece of shit? Thanks for reminding me, blocked. There you go. Anyway, harness the good energy, block the bad, Lewis. Yeah. Happy Gilmore said best. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I read it all, though. I read all the comments of people that we all do, by the way. That's a thing that people that anybody who says they don't read the comments, they read the comments 100 times more than anybody else. Anybody who pretends to not fucking read any of the hate, read any of the shit, they're just trying to get you to stop hating on them. So they're trying to let you know they don't read it. But I read all of it.
Well, I'll be honest. I'll skim. Well, I don't skim. I read the comments. I try and like. If somebody says something nice, I at least give them a like. I try and respond as much as possible. I've said to myself, I'm not going to respond to the negative ones. But then sometimes, I'm not bragging, sometimes if it's a popular post, there's just too many comments. You know, like I did one the other day. There's like 1,000 comments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just haven't got time to go through all them. So I will, you know what I mean? Spend some time, go through them, like them, try and respond. But then after a while, it's like, I can't sit here all day going through comments, but I appreciate them. So then often I'll do like a response directed at everybody. Thank you for all the positive comments, guys. Really appreciate it. Something yeah. like that, you know?
And that's what you're supposed to do as well. We all get caught up in the trap, though. Every once in a while, you're like, I'm going to fucking respond to this asshole. And every time I do it, I'm like, why did I fucking respond to this asshole? I'm the worst. We were talking before about posting gym stuff, though. How do you feel? Because you do it as well. You're guilty of posting stuff in the mirror at the gym. You boxing, you flexing. You hate it, but we're addicted to doing it.
No. And I'm going to sound like a sellout here, but it's a tricky one. Right, that is my identity. That is what I do, and obviously there is that thing with social media. You do get the endorphins, you do get the little pat on the back, you get the
accolades,
the validation that you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? And then people do like it. That's why social media is so important. But also, you know, I'm very lucky to have some sponsors, and I have to, you know, represent those sponsors, and I have to do what I can to say thank you and spread what I feel to be, like, for example, Sanibel, you know, I'm part of their team. I'm Team Sanibel, and, you know, I've got to do some posts, and I'm proud to do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily about me being a douchey egomaniac. Look at me. Aren't I awesome? It's about me being a proud member of Team Sanibel and spreading the word, spreading the love. Charfeel.
Well, it's a weird tightrope to walk because I'm not sponsored by anything and I'm not known for my athleticism at all. But no. I do like being motivated. And when people are, you know, liking my posts and telling me that I'm motivating them, and it's one of the reasons why I'm a comedian, right? We look for these accolades and we look for this immediate endorphin release and that laugh and that moment of feeling great. And social media sort of has, you know, that the same thing that comedians look for, and the reason we get into it. You know, I think social media has a lot of that built into it, where it's like, you're like, cool, I get to post an opinion. I get an immediate reaction. I don't have to, it's like you write a newspaper article and I have to wait for it to be published and wait for people to write letters about it. Like, you know immediately how people feel about your post. So that sort of motivates me. So when I'm getting fat, right, which is I have been over the past year and a half, and I, you know, it's almost like it's on the other side of it as well. So when people start, you know, making comments and making jokes, and I'm a comic, we all bust each other's balls. So people will make fun of me for being fat. It sort of motivates me on that end. And then when I start getting in shape, the comments and the likes, that sort of motivates me. And then once that stops and goes away, then I start to, it's sad, but I'm trying to tap into whatever the motivation is on my own without needing something like that. But it's sort of a weird guiding. It sort of like guides you. It's like, shit, I'm posting a dumb gym selfie and everyone's saying I look great. If the end result is I'm working harder in the gym and I'm losing weight and living longer, is that not more valuable than being a douchebag?
No, absolutely it is. It really is, you know. But here's another thing as well, another cycle. If you've got a following, if you've, you know, you've got an active Instagram page and you want to build your followers, you've got to post. You've got to be active on there. And if that's what you're doing with your time, then that's what you should post. I must admit, though, I do, because obviously now and again, you know, you're in the gym, you're like, yeah, I'm feeling good. You got that endorphins, you're doing a fucking good set, you've got a good sweat on, you're like, yeah, life's good. I'm not hungover, I'm not drinking, I'm fucking feeling good. I'm doing the Body Beast, I'm doing the Michael Hearn. Fuck yeah, let's do a selfie or let's do a little picture in the mirror. And then you see your reflection in the mirror of yourself holding the camera, holding the phone pointed, and you just think, fuck. Everybody in this gym probably thinks I'm a total fucking asshole right now. Okay? That's what you think. But then here's what I think. I don't give a fuck what them people in there think of me. And guess what? Everybody takes a picture of themselves in the gym working out these days. And yes, okay, it can be construed as maybe a little bit douchery, a little bit of, you know, like, come on, whatever. You know, there's plenty of negative words you can say, but who gives a fuck what they think? They might just laugh. They might roll their eyes. They might go, oh, he's doing another selfie. But so fucking what? If it makes you happy, who gives a shit what random people that you don't know think about you? And children, kids listening to this, that's what you've got to remember. Not just kids, everybody. Fuck what strangers that you don't know think about you. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't matter. I forget who it was that said this, but it's a good quote. It's none of my business what other people think of me. And it really fucking isn't. You know what I mean? So go ahead. Do your gym selfies. Go crazy, Lewis. Give me another bicep flex.
Another bicep flex? My fucking biceps are the first thing to come back every time. Ooh, daddy. It's a big fucking arms, doggy. That's it. I'm going to get lean. I'm going to get lean. Oh, it's over, Mike. It's let me tell you something. The contest, it's over. It is. There's no chance you beat me in this. I already, if I showed you the before and after right now, it's so extreme within 2.5 weeks that you have no.
Hold on. What is the cutoff point? Should we? Are we saying the end of February? Is that what we agreed?
We could do March 1st. I was going to say right before Skankfest weekend because that's sort of my goal to be fucking shredded by then.
Whatever, we'll figure that out. But so you got up to 300 and odd pounds, you were saying, like a long time ago. Did you know you were actually fat, or did like other people have to point that out? Because I remember the heaviest that I got, I don't know what it was, I think it was about 18 stone. I was working at as an upholsterer, making furniture, making couches. Well, I was loading them on.
The conversion of 18 stone?
Well, it's 14 pounds in a stone. 14 pounds in the stone, so 10 is 180. 8, add another 80, and 432, add another 112. 180, 280. It's like, oh, is that right? That can't be right. 140, sorry, pardon me.
252.
It's about 250
252.
Pounds. Yeah, yeah. 252, that's fucking heavy. And I remember at work, everyone was like, oh, you fat bastard. You fat bastard. And I was always kind of big, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not a fat bastard. I might have told this story before. If I have, I apologize. I'm like, I'm not a fat bastard. What are you talking about? I'm just fucking big. And every morning I go and I get my fry up, my bacon sausage egg on toast and fucking a couple of Mars bars and chocolate bars afterwards, drinking Coke and Sprite. I had no idea on diet. I just got my own house with Rebecca. I'd come home at night. I'd drink beers. You know what I mean? And just, you're getting fat. Simple as that. You're getting fat. And I'd say, I'm not fat, I'm big. I remember we never had a shower at the time and we only had a bath. And then we had this big mirror opposite the bath and I was letting the plug out the bath. And as I was climbing out, I looked to the left and I catch my own reflection in the mirror as I'm leaned over, totally naked. I'm like, yep, they're right. I'm a fat bastard. Yeah. And then that was that. I ate the change, Lewis.
Yeah, 340 pounds, you're a fat bastard. I was always a fat bastard. I had never not been fat. So, I mean, the moment that I knew that I was really fat was when I went to Six Flags Great Adventure, which is like a big, you know, amusement park here. Like big, you know, crazy roller coasters. And they had a Batman ride. And what they did, this is the first year they did this, too, this is years ago. They put a sample seat in the front of the line. Like they said, hey, this is the seat. What, you know, check to see if you'll fit in the seat. This is essentially for fat people to not have to fucking get on the line, wait in line for an hour, get onto the ride, then them have to fucking stop the ride and go, get this fat bastard off and have everybody just laugh at them, which is what happened to me.
But it's not just that also. It's not just that also, because it then creates a really awkward thing for the staff as well. You know what I mean? And it makes the person feel bad and it's embarrassing. Not only have they waited in line, you know, it's just embarrassing and hurtful for everybody involved. Sorry, carry on.
So yeah, I sat in the seat and it wouldn't close. I was like, oh shit, I'm too fat for this ride. But then for some reason, I was like, you know what? I bet I can fit on the one that's actually on the roller coaster.
Oh my God. This is what I do all the time. I'm like, nah, it'll be fine. We'll be good. I do that on rides all the time. Like I used to smuggle like Callum or Elliot or Lucas onto rides, and Rebecca will be like, Michael, they're going to be terrified. I'm like, they'll be fine. And like, Lucas has a look of terror in his eyes. He's 3 years old. I'm like, no. And he's not even big enough. I'm like, just stand on your fucking tiptoes and I'll distract the person as we're climbing on. And Rebecca's like, no, no, he's not going to like it. I'm like, he's fine. Shut up. Listen, she's here. Just act natural, like natural. On your fucking tiptoes, you dickhead. On your tiptoes. Let's go. I have not waited in line for an hour to get fucked off because you're not tall enough. And then, of course, he was fucking terrified. He nearly had a heart attack on there. God bless him. Sorry, as you were. Back to your story.
So, yeah, dude. I was like, yeah, I'll fit on that one. I'll fit on that one. Why not? So I went in the line for an hour. And, of course, I get on. It won't close. They're all calling other people over. They're trying to close on me. Everyone's just staring. The whole line's held up. And then eventually I have to do the walk of shame. Just the fat guy roller coaster walk of shame. There's only a handful. We have a lot of people that listen to the show. I guarantee you there's probably 5 to 10 fat guys that listen to the show that have had to do the fat guy walk of shame at one point in their life. And there's no lower point in your entire life. You have to go buy a turkey leg and stand there and eat it while your friends are on a ride.
I swear to God, even when you said the turkey leg, it just keeps adding to this mental image in my mind. All I can see is Homer Simpson. Remember that episode where he has like, it's like a bath gown on or a nightgown. Homer Simpson, he's fat as fuck and he's just getting fatter and fatter and fatter. That's all I could picture.
Yeah, where he leans into it.
Exactly. That's right.
He's like, fuck it, I'll be fat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he gets really fat. But you know what? Me and Rebecca say that sometimes. You know, we do say this. We say, you know, wouldn't it be nice? And we're talking a lot about diet here, so we apologize. But we do say, wouldn't it be nice to just not give a fuck? To not give a fuck and, like, you know, just enjoy yourself. Because when I had my knee replacement, I kind of fell out, obviously, the cycle of going to the gym all the time. And I was eating whatever I want, and I did put some weight on. Obviously, that's why I'm trying to lose it now. But it did feel good. It did feel good saying, you know what, if I want a pizza, I'm just going to have a pizza. If I want a beer, I'll have a beer. If I want chocolate, dessert, chicken wings, whatever it is, I'm going to fucking do it. It's great to do that now and again and reward yourself. But ultimately, you do want to live a healthy, long life. You want to feel good. You want to look good. And when you look good, pardon me, I got it the wrong way around. When you look good, you feel good. You know, clothes fit you better. You're more confident. Just everything about it. You got a bit more pep in your step, you know, more confident, you know.
It's
so,
like, it's an analogy for
you
like
live
every-
longer.
It's an analogy for everything else in life. It's okay. Like when I'm working out and dieting and I have that regimen where I'm taking care of myself and that's a part of my lifestyle, right? What it does is it sort of transfers over to every other area of my life. So I'm everything from writing better jokes to getting up more at night. It's all sort of interconnected. And I'm lucky in the sense that because I have shitty genes, like physically, like, and I get fat very easily. But I'm very lucky that I have the ability to tap into something that motivates me. And that's where I think, because you hear certain people being like, but it's just laziness, whatever. Mind-body connection, that psychological thing, whatever it is, you know, you're blessed, Michael Bisping. You're blessed that forget the physical stuff, that psychologically you can, you know, put yourself there. It really is very mental. And some people, especially if they didn't sort of have the education or whatever it is, it's very difficult for them to get there. And I think people need to focus more on whatever that psychological motivation is than just simply saying, oh, well, they're lazy. You just got to get up. It's like just getting out of bed. I went through a year and a half where I wasn't motivated to work out at all. And something just clicked recently. And I can't say that that's the solution for everybody. I can't just go, you just got to do it, man. It's not the solution for everybody. I've been able to sort of connect the dots and figure out what motivates me, which is my son and me wanting to show him that he can do anything he wants. And me, you know, and I feel like a fraud. This is really what sort of motivated me. I started feeling like a fraud because I preach a lot about doing what I want to do and trying to be successful and running, you know, this career, doing comedy and podcasting, whatever. And I want my kid, I tell him, you can do whatever you want. You're in control of everything. And then I'm a fat fuck and I'm eating bad and I'm not exercising and I'm not prolonging my life. And I just, as he's getting older, I'm starting to feel a little bit more like, well, why not just eat well? Why not just exercise and just show him that that's something you can have complete control over?
Yeah, well, not only is it a tremendous example to your children, like you just said, and not only is it healthy, you know, you'll feel better and you'll live a longer, happier, fuller life. Also, the mental health aspect side of it is huge. I mean, you touched on it a little bit there. I'm an ambassador for the Frank Bruno Foundation. Frank Bruno was a legendary boxer. He was a world champion at one point, a heavyweight boxer from the UK. I was always the biggest Frank Bruno fan ever. And he went through a lot of mental health struggles throughout his career. Obviously, you know, he was a big household name in the UK. He wasn't just like a boxer. He was on all the talk shows. He was a massive, massive celebrity. He had a lot of charisma, just an awesome fucking dude. And I was a massive fan. And he had a few TV shows and documentaries about him, you know, and he was struggling in them. I forget the exact details, so I don't want to say too much and get it wrong and disrespect him. But he did have some very, very public. He was in the newspapers, like he was going through a lot, you know, and he had some mental health breakdowns. So now he has the Frank Bruno Foundation, which I'm a very proud ambassador of, alongside Tyson Fury and a bunch of other people. But exercise, it is the key to a lot of it. I mean, you said to me there, it's easy for me. It's not easy for me. You know, I put this brave face on it. A lot of the time, you know, you smile and all the rest of it. You say depression. I'm not saying I'm depressed, by the way, but you're saying depression, you never know. Just because you look at someone and they seem happy, you don't know what's going on behind the curtains. And everyone has their down days. Everyone has their bad days. They do. This morning for me, I was pretty fucking depressed this morning. I was having a bad time. Got a few stresses in my life right now that, you know, some things aren't going well. Went into the garage, hit the bag. You know, obviously we release some aggression, obviously, but release some endorphins, got a good sweat on. And I felt like a new man. You know, when you go out there and you have a workout and you just break a sweat, you have some physical activity. It does, you know, as you said, the mind and body connection, you do like kind of literally feel the weight coming off your shoulders and you realize everything's not that bad. It's not as bad as it seems. And sometimes, obviously, if we're talking real life-changing problems, a workout isn't going to fix that. But a lot of the times, the mundane stuff that you just, the day-to-day stuff that gets you down, that you start getting depressed about, it isn't that bad. And a lot of people, you know, tomorrow's always another day. A workout will help. Just speaking to friends, sharing a problem. Obviously, these days, suicide's a massive thing. So, you know, if you're having problems or thoughts like that, speak to somebody. There you go. Got very serious there for a second, Lewis.
Yeah, it was a weird left turn at the end. We're sort of like hidden a bag.
Don't kill yourself.
It's just fucking,
whatever you do.
I ran a couple miles this morning. You know, also don't murder yourself.
Yeah, don't murder yourself or anyone for that. You know, I'm pretty sure you got to prison for that. although life isn't life these days. You get fucking in England, you get 25 years and you'll be out in 10. There you go. All right, guys, let's just take a quick second to talk about Ridge Wallet. Yes. You've heard about the Ridge Wallet before if you listen to the show, but not all of you are taking advantage of this space age technology, this forward thinking, this the contemporary design, the graphite, the carbon, the slickness, the minimalist approach that the Ridge Wallet is bringing to the table, Lewis.
I pull up my Ridge Wallet and people are like, is this guy a fucking Terminator? Where did he come from? Did he come from 100 years in the future? Because it's so cool. It's a talking point. That's what I do.
No. It's like, I need your clothes, your keys, your motorcycle, and your Ridge Wallet.
That's what I do. Anytime I pull out to go pay for a drink, I'm like, I got it. Do not worry. Get down.
And me on the flip side, like a while ago, I remember I was still using that shitty old fat one that my wife bought me. It has some sentimental value. It does. And I'm very appreciative of her for buying it for me. But when I pulled it out, everyone was like, you know, I got funny looks. And like at one point, you know, this is like when I was single, I had the same wallet and I was like getting close to closing the deal with a girl and she saw the wallet and the receipts and like there was like bits of food and tackiness on there. There's a bit of sticky on there. Chewed up gum, that's what it was. It wasn't jizz. It was chewed up gum on the wallet. There was all kinds of debris from my pockets all over.
You ever see that? You see now people pull out their wallet and they have like pictures, like actual printed out pictures. Like, what is this, 1975? I mean, Jesus Christ, you have printed out pictures? Get a fucking iPhone, weirdo.
Yeah, get an iPhone. I mean, what are you? I mean, why would you love your family? Jesus Christ, what's all that about? Fuck the family, fuck the wife, fuck the girlfriend. What you need to, fuck the old wallet. What you need to do is get with the times. You need to impress people. But seriously, all jokes aside, this thing is beautiful. It's minimalistic. There's a little money clip on there. You can put your cards inside there. And it does stop you from just acquiring all that junk that you don't need, right?
It
Lewis?
Makes my head feel a little bit more clear. You know what I'm saying? If you know when you clean your room or you clean out a drawer, you're like, wow, I feel better. That's what it feels like every time you pull out your wallet. And it really is a very, very cool company. They have over 30,000 five-star reviews, and it's just ultimately a better way to carry your cash and credit cards around. I say right now, just go to ridge.com/BYM. Just take a look around. A ton of different styles. A style for everybody. Your dad, your mom, your grandma, your brother, your cousin, your boss. I really do love mine. I have mine in my pocket right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful, sleek wallet. It's basically, for those people that don't know, two metal plates bound together by a durable elastic band. The ridge looks nothing like a traditional wallet. It's titanium, carbon fiber, and aluminum, whatever, which way you say, options ensures that there is an option for everybody. So as Lewis rightly said, all you got to do, go to ridge.com/BYM, ridge, RIDGE.com/BYM, use the code BYM, and you will get 10% off, right? 10% off. Start impressing everybody. Start letting everybody know you're not a loser. You are with the times. You're not stuck in a rut. You're not still living in the 90s, okay? You're a forward-thinking guy. You are a man of 2020.
You're a Terminator. Ridge.com. Be a Terminator. Hashtag be a Terminator. Ridge.com/BYM.
You are a product of Cyberdyne Systems. Go to ridge.com/BYM. Use the code BYM. Should we do a major U-turn now?
Sure. Well, as it relates, I will say, because, and then we can switch topics, because I think it is kind of interesting, right? And you know, I do think whatever, the personal fitness thing and taking care of yourself, it is sort of like, it's almost like the beginning of, like, you know, getting your shit together in a weird way. There's I don't know the quote super well, but Jordan Peterson, who's like a, you know, he was a former college professor, but you know, he does like talks now, and like, you know, he's been on Rogan a bunch, but he talks about how cleaning your room, he has this like speech on like cleaning your room, and he just talks about how, like, instead of focusing on everything else in the world and pointing your finger at other people, like, just go home and clean your room and organize that side of it, and then start to work out from there. And you're going to have a lot more effect for the world, for people around you, for everybody else. I think that's the point of it. Like I said, I've only heard other people talk about this, to be honest with you, so I may be butchering it, but that's what I took from it. And I sort of look at the exercise thing as a very similar thing, where I go like, well, it's a great start to put everything into perspective, to say, well, wait a minute, I do care about myself. I do care about my mental, physical, whatever state. And then you can sort of move that sensibility over to every other area of your life.
Absolutely. And it relates to something that I joke about a lot, but I'm actually serious. And it's the drinking thing. And it all goes hand in hand as well. You know, I always stand in here and I joke, oh, I don't drink anymore. But then, you know, I'll say it's 5 minutes later, I had a beer last night or whatever. And people joke about it and this and that. But what I mean by that is, and I clarified this to Rebecca on the phone the other day, or to somebody, I forget who it was, I'm done binge drinking. You know what I mean? And I used to do that a lot. You know, I did it fucking every time I would drink, ever since I was 16 years old. You know, and then the next day you feel like shit. Then the next day you eat terribly because you couldn't care less. You don't go to the gym and it just becomes a vicious cycle. Then you've had a shitty day. You're like, oh, fuck it, I'll have a few more tonight. So I want to stop drinking because I don't want to feel like shit, because I want to make the most of my life, because I want to work out. I want to feel healthy. I want to be busy with the kids at the weekend. I want to be out doing things with the children. I want to be pursuing things in my career. I don't fight anymore. So there's a lot of things I still want to do. And it all starts with feeling good, going to the gym, right? Having the energy to pursue these things. Because when you feel like shit, you're not working out, you haven't got the energy, maybe your diet is terrible, and you're drinking fucking booze as well, it's a vicious fucking cycle. Do you know what I mean? So working out, the not drinking, it all kind of, it's all the same thing. And as you said, tidying your room, tidying your life, basically just taking a hold of your life and being accountable. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's when I joke about it, but I'm not joking. I'm very fucking serious about it. And I've been doing great since January. You know what I mean? And hopefully I'll continue throughout the year. But there you go, baby boy.
I love it. And by the way, I wasn't saying it's easy for you. What I was saying is you're lucky.
Yeah.
You're lucky that you can tap into that. And I'm very lucky too. I'm very lucky that I can tap into a motivation. A lot of people, you know, there's people that are 400, 500 pounds that, you know, it's not, I don't think it's because they're lazy. It's just they haven't been able to tap into whatever that thing is. But I will say to those people, and this happens to me every time I don't want to go to the gym, anytime I don't want to work out, whatever it is, there's just a moment. It literally is 1 second to make the decision, because once you're there, you're there. You know what I'm saying? So it's not even, it seems like, oh shit, 2 hours of my life, an hour of my life, whatever it is. The reality is, it's just that decision is one moment where you truly decide where you, and I have this thought every day where the days that I don't go to the gym, there's always a moment where it creeps in. And I go, maybe I'll skip that day. And when that moment, when that fucking creeps into my head, now lately, for the past few weeks, I go, fuck you. And I literally consciously look at that thought. I'm like, actually visualize it and go, get the fuck out of my head. And in that moment, I go, I got to leave. As soon as that, so I think most people let that thought creep in and take over, and it's just about sort of making that decision right there and then. So, We are fucking, wow, this is either, once again, either really cringy and douchey or very inspiring. It's a thin line. I don't know.
No. I think some people listening to this will get a lot of use out of it because, you know, there is people that are obese, you know, there is people that's a real problem for them. And not only, you know, in terms of their day-to-day life and not feeling good, we're talking about their health, you know, their arteries clogging, whatever the problem is that being overweight has. And a lot of people, they don't want to go to the gym. You know, they're ashamed. They don't want to do it. You know, they don't want to walk in there to a gym. It's very intimidating to see people in there and they're all fucking ripped and they're this and that and they've got to walk in. So whenever I see anybody in the gym and I fucking just think respect, man. I think good for that person. There's never any judgment from me. And I don't think from any people. So anyone listening to this out there that has got a problem, just fucking start moving your body. You're going to start moving your body and eat less. You're going to burn calories. Just walk around the block. And then when you can do that and it feels good, walk a little longer. Go ahead, finger up at the back.
Because that was, I think, another big part of it, especially for me, because I never had the education as a kid. Like, nobody ever told me how to eat healthy or exercise. The first time I had a gym membership, I didn't know what I was doing. I went just from one machine. I did 10 things. Then I went to the next machine, did 10 things. And the problem is you don't have a finish line. You don't really have any direction to go. So and you don't see changes after a day. It takes a couple months. It takes 2 months, 6 weeks minimum to start seeing real changes.
The hard part.
And if you don't know, I think it's an issue. Now we're very lucky. You can literally go to a YouTube channel. If you've never worked out, you can go to YouTube right now and say, complete beginner workout, lose weight. And you will find a fucking channel that has a lot. Look for the ones that have the most views, the most likes. Just simply follow that. Simply follow it. You'll start to understand your body later and what you like and what you don't like. But that education side of it, I didn't have that when I first started working out. I didn't have that as a kid. And now that we have that at our fingertips at all given times, utilize that tool because there's so much information that's out there. It's crazy. Anytime all those Michael Horn workouts, I go and I look up the form on YouTube. I don't have a personal trainer there to show me the form.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was just going to say. If you've got a program, it makes it so much better. And this program that we're both on from Michael Hearn, it's fucking amazing. Of course, we've been to gyms for a while. We know what we're doing. So we don't recommend it for everybody. But as you said, a lot of the exercise names on there, I wasn't totally familiar with them. So when I'm in the gym, I know them now, but I'd Google them. You know, the Titan Press, I wasn't sure what that was. There's a few variations, a very specific. They're very, very, very specific, right? So I would Google them. And if you want to do that, you can Google workout routines, as you said. And for those people that haven't got the energy, the hardest thing is getting off the couch. It is a walking out the front door. Because when you get there, you generally enjoy it. And as you say, you release the endorphins and you feel better. And hopefully it puts you on a path to success. But if you can't go to the gym, start walking and then walk a little longer. Maybe break into a jog when you start feeling better about yourself and maybe hit a gym. But whatever it is, good luck with everything. All right, let's get into some fucking fights.
All right, fight time. But can I, before we, I don't want to preach.
Like, I've got fat. I'm trying to lose weight and I'm going to lose more than you. Right. And it doesn't happen overnight. I'm going to say this last thing because it is demoralizing. So you go, you stick to the diet, you do all that shit, you go into the gym, you kill yourself, and you get on the scale in the morning, and you're like, fuck, what is the point? Bollocks to it. I'm having a pizza and getting a bottle of wine. You know what I mean? But consistency is key. Because, like, when I started on this Michael Hearn thing, again, I was fucking still really heavy and it was pissing me off. And then all of a sudden, boom. The change kicks in. Sometimes it happens quick. Sometimes it takes a while. But if you stick at it, the body's a tremendous thing, and eventually you will get the desired result.
Also, can somebody please edit down our conversation and put it behind like cool, like fucking gladiatory type music, like they did with all of Rogan's motivational speeches, and have a Michael Bisping, Luis J. Gomez motivation gym motivational thing?
Yeah. What the fuck, man? I mean, that does piss me off. We don't get the same props. I mean, and talking of Joe Rogan, I've seen one of the notes here. Harrington, Joe Rogan landed on the Forbes list as the number one podcaster at 30 million a year. What does that mean, 30 million listeners or $30 million?
Dollars.
He's making $30 million a year off his podcast.
Yeah.
Right, we got to start getting some really boring scientists to fucking come into the half mansion and sit here, okay? We got to start getting some shit for fucking brains fighters that are fucking delusional to sit here and start talking shit to me. We got to start fucking boring people to death. 30 million a year, baby boy. I'll do whatever it takes.
Let me tell you something. $30 million a year, there's almost nothing that I wouldn't do. Think about that. Think about what an amazing thing this is. It really is, because it inspires me. He speaks into the air. He doesn't lift things. He doesn't build things. He doesn't have a fucking wood shop out back. He's not a metal worker. He speaks, and he puts $30 million a year in the bank off of just saying, it's fucking bananas. What a crazy game that is. And good for him. Good for fucking Rogan, dude. The godfather of podcasting. That's crazy.
10 years he's been doing it. We've got our own niche. We can't copy the Joe Rogan podcast. I wouldn't want to. We've got to carve out our own niche, which I believe we have. Okay. But I'm buying a fucking big studio. I'm going to get it like a fake monkey when you walk in that people can take pictures with. Maybe a samurai sword or two. I'm not copying his show, but I'm definitely going to steal a little bit.
To be honest with you, we could put Harrington just in his underwear in the front of the studio and he could pretend to be the fake monkey. Everyone just takes pictures with Harrington.
God, you know what? Yeah, a real life Harrington. There you go. No, just don't get too close. What, will he bite? No, he won't bite you, but he just fucking stinks. You know what I mean? And he'll stay on you all day. So just, you know, don't touch. All right. Anyway, what is it? Is it 247 or 248? Where are we on?
It's one. Oh, yeah, 245.
UFC. No, it's not UFC 245.
Oh, I thought you were asking the time.
What UFC? UFC 247.
This is why we don't make $30 million per year. You think Rogan's making fuck-ups like this? God damn it, Harrington.
Yeah. Stop. What do you mean, Harrington? I said, is it UFC 245 or 246 or 7? And you're like, no, bro. It's 245. You've got plenty of time. Anyway, Jones. Alexander Reyes.
No.
Dominic Reyes. Oh, shit. I did it again. Do you know what I did? There's a guy that works at Best Buy. I'm trying to talk about fights, guys. There's a guy that works at Best Buy, Alexander Reyes, Ali Reyes on Instagram. And we do message each other now and again on Instagram. He's a great guy. I've been messaging with Dominic Reyes, right, about coming on the show. And he wants to come on the show. If he wins this weekend, I guarantee we'll have him on next week. But I messaged him on Monday for Monday's show. I said, hey, fancy jumping on my podcast today for 10 minutes quickly. I know you're busy. And he messages back straight away. Yeah, absolutely. What time? Not sure what I'm going to talk about, though, but yeah, no problem. And then I looked at it again, and I messaged the guy from Best Buy, and I had to message him. I said, oh, sorry, dude. Yeah, wrong Reyes. My bad. Sorry, bud.
That's hilarious that he was literally like, wow, Michael Bisping wants to be on his podcast. I'm going to – what would he speak about?
Is that he really values my knowledge of the latest Samsung TVs and accoutrement. He really values my knowledge of the correct phono cables to go from amplifier to said audio device.
All right, guys, let's take a quick second and hear from our brand new sponsor, Omegle. I love Omegle. I have an Omegle right now in my apartment. It is changing the way that you will poop. If you guys don't know, Omegle is an incredible, easy to use and install bidet for home or office or wherever you might want to go. And if you don't know what a bidet is, Michael Bisping, he's a European world traveler. Obviously, he knows what a bidet is. But if you don't know what it is, it's basically, it cleans your butt. It's not, toilet paper is the thing of the past. Michael Bisping, if I said dip your head in a toilet right now, and then I gave you a paper towel to clean your head off, wouldn't you be like, all right, I probably need a little bit of water, right?
Well, first of all, I'd be like, that sounds a little bit weird. I didn't know where you were going to go with it, but I'm like, I'm in. I'll do it. I'll stick my head in the toilet, but I don't know. I didn't know where it was going. But back to the bidet, or the bidet, as I like to say, or as Europeans correctly pronounce it, the bidet. The Omegle, it's awesome. I love this thing. I first used one of these when I was in Shenzhen, China last year. Nothing to do with the coronavirus. I was in Shenzhen and I was commentating, and in my hotel room, it was a beautiful 5-star hotel. I sat down and it was just like the Omegle, which he sent here to my house. And, you know, you can direct it to the exact area, the crucial area that is needed. You know, I mean, it's beautiful. It feels nice. It's clean. I mean, you wash your hands when you're done in the bathroom, right? Why wouldn't you wash your butt, your butthole, your anus, your sphincter, whatever you want to call it.
Your brown eye. Your nether region, your parts unknown.
Your chocolate starfish requires cleaning on a regular basis, okay? And the thing is, it feels good. It feels nice. It's
Whoa,
clean.
Easy,
it's
easy, great. Mike. Let's not get into the other benefits.
listen. I was in China. I'm like, I'm not leaving my room. I'm just going to stay in here. I didn't even need shit. I was just sitting on there just going all day. Ooh, ooh, ooh. This is good. And if you take advantage, you'll know what I mean. Here's the thing. They are fantastic. They sent me one. which I was blown away by it, to be honest. I looked at it, I thought, shit, I'm going to have to get a plumber to install this. But no, a little bit of messing around. I'm not exactly a handyman.
So you made Rebecca install it?
Well, she did start the process, if I'm honest. She opened the box and then I took over. But no, it's so easy that even I could do it. A moron like me could even install it. And in 15 minutes, I was there sexually pleasing myself with a bidet.
And on top of that, you would think that this technology costs hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars. Guess what? You can get an Omega starting at just $69, okay? $69. Change your life. Clean your butt. All you got to do right now is go to myomigo.com/gas. That is myomigo.com/gas. You get 15% off your entire order. So do that right now. myomigo.com/gas. Go clean your butt the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm telling you right now, this has the Michael Bisping seal of approval because I fucking love mine, okay? So go to myomigo.com/gas and you'll get 15% off. All right. Anyway, Jones, Reyes, let's go through a couple of fights. What is the fight card? I know we've got Lir Latifi taking on Derek Lewis. That's going to be a great fight. Always fun seeing Derek Lewis. Lir Latifi, in my mind, I think he used to fight at heavyweight back in the day. And he's going back to heavyweight. I mean, he's built like a fire hydrant. He's short. He's stocky. But it's the height. What is the height, Harrington? Can you look that up for me? He's not the tallest of guys. No, of course, you don't need
he's
to.
He's 5'10".
You don't have to be the fight. All right. Okay. That's perfectly reasonable. My apologies. I just think compared
that's
to some
very,
of his opponents.
Very short for heavyweight. I think the last – how tall was Pat Barry?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably a similar height, actually. Yeah, probably around 5'10".
Yeah, he looked way shorter than everybody. So it's a similar build, similar height, stocky. Alir's vicious in some of those highlight videos. But as a heavyweight, I don't know, man.
No, he's vicious. And he can wrestle. I think he was on the Swedish wrestling team, which, you know, no disrespect to the Swedish national wrestling team. They're probably as good as the English national wrestling team, although Callum Bisping's on that now, so fuck you all. We're taking gold. but, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's a very, very tough debut. I respect the balls on him, but, you know, I don't see him picking up Derek Lewis and slamming him on his head like he does to some of his opponents. But, right. I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, he does hit very hard. He's incredibly strong and he's very, very experienced. But Derek Lewis, you know, I mean, I'm going to favor him just because of the sheer size. And of course, it's not all about size and there's technique and there's will and there's grit and there's game plan and wrestling and all that type of stuff. But trust me, size does come into it. You know, if you get two guys that have equal skill sets, generally the bigger guy's going to win.
Yeah, I'm looking up Alir's. He's 5'8". He's not 5'10". He's 5'8", gentlemen.
Get a grip.
According to... it's weird. I mean, because look, he's got the loss to Volkan Uzdemir, loss to Corey Anderson, coming off two losses in a row, got knocked out by Uzdemir. I mean, it just seems like a move up to heavyweight. I don't want to be disrespectful, but it seems almost like a move of desperation. Like he doesn't really have much else to do at 205. So now let's roll the dice and see what happens at heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his record as well. Ryan Bader knocked him out. Then he beat Tyson Pedro, and then he beat Ovincent Pru. And, you know, decent wins there, but then lost Corey Anderson and again knocked out against Volkan Uzdemir. As you said, I mean, I'm a big fan of Alir Latifi. We did a fighter interview with him. Just a great guy. An awesome human being. Really, really good. And he's in a tough spot. And who knows? You know, sometimes I don't know how much weight he cuts for a fight, but maybe making 205 was a real chore for him. And maybe that resulted in some of the losses. You know, when you have those extreme weight cuts, as the fight's progressing, you start running out of gas. You can't take a punch as well. You got to kill yourself in training camp to make the weight. Therefore, you lose muscle mass and you're not as strong and you're not as explosive. So who knows? Maybe this is like, you know, I'm starting to rack up the losses. And part of that is because it's hard to make weight. So I'm going to eradicate that and go to fucking heavyweight and fight at my natural weight. And who knows? Maybe we'll see a new man. But I got to say, I got to lean towards Derek Lewis.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Derek Lewis, his only couple losses recently came to D.C., and then it was, who did he fucking lose to? He got knocked out. Regardless, though, but it's Junior Dos Santos. So he's like he's lost to elite level heavyweights, and then honestly beats all the other guys that are sort of trying to come up. I feel like Aliyah is, you know, and once again, it's shitty to say. It just feels like he's going to bite off more than he could chew. He's a huge, huge guy. It's not like he's easy to knock out. He fights all heavyweights. We'll see what happens. But Aliyah Latifi, didn't he come in short notice as a replacement for somebody initially? Who was that? Harrington probably remembers. No, yeah,
I'm not sure about that. I have no info on that. But what I do like about Derek Lewis, though, is that he does swing. I mean, we had that one fight with Francis Ngannou where nothing really happened. But other than that, you know, he's always entertaining. Against Daniel Cormier, of course, he was just outmatched in the wrestling department. And DC did the smart thing. DC knows. DC's probably better wrestler than fucking the majority of people in the UFC. And against Derek Lewis, a big hard-hitting guy, what do? You take him down. But when he fought Alexander Volkov, that's what really impressed me about Derek Lewis and his willingness to really go after the win regardless of what it took. Because in that fight, Volkov was ahead. And it was the third round and it was coming to the end of the fight. And Derek Lewis, to win this fight, had to get a knockout. And he knew what he had to do. Obviously, you know, the right hand, that's his money shot. And he just kept going forward for the bigger, taller opponent and swinging that right hand. And he knew he had to get the knockout. And fuck me, in the closing seconds, he got it. He delivered that shot. And that was even with his balls hot. You know, because remember, he took his shorts off. And my balls were too hot, man. You know, so he's knocking out people when his balls are too hot. Imagine if he has the gonad thermostat fully in place and they're at the optimum temperature. Fuck me. Lil Latifi does not stand a chance.
I'm just saying right now, if Derek Lewis had a Sheath sponsorship, which Sheath should consider taking the opportunity, I mean, imagine how cool his balls would be. That breathable fabric separates his Frank from his beans in two separate chambers. He probably needs a little bit of extra stitching.
People bitch about the ad reads. This is not an ad read, but fuck me. I mean, the sky's the limit. What he could do is get a custom pair for a ball in each pouch. Or not a triple pair, you know what I mean? One for the shaft and a bollock in each one. Super cool, with maybe a special lining fabric that just kept them super cool and chilly. And if he did that, my God, he'd be knocking every DC, watch your back. He's coming for the rematch.
It's like, you know, maybe they'll have even a fourth chamber that you put pieces of ice in, like a bong. You know, you can put ice in your bong, like a chamber. He has ice in his Sheath underwear. Right. Sheath, bring us to the marketing team, Sheath. We will come in and we will fucking change your business model.
We will, but please stop. Let's stop doing an advert for free. No offense, Sheath. I love Sheath. All right, official pick. I love Latifi. I'm a big fan of his, but I just think this is maybe a little too tough for him. I think it's a tough matchup. I really do. So I've got Derek Lewis, probably by knockout, if I'm honest.
I agree. I think it's going to be maybe the second round. Aliyah will bring it. It'll be a good fight. But yeah, I don't think he's going to have enough to get him to the ground. And I think Derek's going to be too big for him, too tough.
Oh, for sure, Aliyah will bring it. The man fights. He's a fighter for sure. So he'll bring it. He won't be scared. He won't be intimidated. I just feel like he's a little outgunned. All right, moving on. Co-main event. Caitlin Chookagian. Remember, we had that little beef with her not paying a check when I was in Brooklyn last year. But whatever, you know, that's a long time
ago. I say, I take her side of this because her version of the story did sound more realistic. That Bisping was too drunk to remember that he said, "I got it, mate. Google me, baby."
No. Whoa, for one, I've never said Google me, baby. So that's a lie. Secondly, I wasn't that drunk. I was sat in the bar just having a few beers on a Thursday night. She swans in and leaves, and then I got to pay, and the barman tried to stiff me with a check. Anyway, let's not get into that. She's a great person. We had a laugh about it. And no, she's awesome, and I really, really enjoy watching her fight. She's a fantastic fighter. Really impressed me in her last fight against Joanna Calderwood.
I mean, if you've watched UFC and you've watched Joanna fight, you know she's good. But my good friend, the Thai coach, Daz Morris from the UK, he speaks so highly of Joanna Calderwood. She was an absolute beast on the Muay Thai scene. And I just got to say this. This is going to be a controversial thing that a lot of American martial artists are going to fucking dislike. But because there is a Muay Thai scene in America. There is a kickboxing scene in America. But it ain't shit on the fucking UK Thai boxing scene, okay? I'm just going to throw that out there. On the European Thai boxing scene, okay? It doesn't even compete. It doesn't even compute. It doesn't equate. Thank you, Daniel, right? The UK Thai boxing scene is fucking world class, and Joanna Calderwood was at the top of that game for a long, long time. The point I'm making is that Caitlin Chookagian was able to beat her at her own game. Right now, coming into this fight against Valentina Shevchenko, the bullet, the one that knocked out Jessica Eye with that vicious head kick, people are thinking, well, here we go. We got another Shevchenko win in our hands. But after what she did to Joanna Calderwood, even though it was a pretty close fight, I'm not so sure, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, also, if you look at Caitlin Chookagian's record, she's got two losses against Jessica Eye and against whoever else it was, but they're both split decisions. And, you know, I mean, beyond, I mean, honestly, her only losses have come by super close split decisions. So pretty tough chick. And in some people's eyes, undefeated. Those judges who scored it in her favor, this woman's never lost a fight. So, I actually am rooting for Chookagian. At this point, I feel like she's a friend of the show, even though she probably considers herself an enemy of the show. But we love her. If she wins this fight, I'll give her own segment weekly on the show.
Hey, listen, whether or not she paid the check, whether she didn't, whether or not I was wasted, I'm also a friend of Valentina Shevchenko. Okay, so don't put me in the middle like that. Don't be picking sides. This is an impartial review of this fight, of the different scenarios that may occur.
Nobody puts Bisping in the middle. Nobody does it.
Certainly not with Chookagian on one side and Shevchenko on the other. I don't want to be in that position. That's not a pickle I want to find myself in. No, at the last fight, I think it was UFC 245, sat down with Miss Rebecca Bisping, and on the right of me, we had the Shevchenko sisters, Valentina and Antonina. Very, very nice people. We got a little selfie, we did a little picture. Then they had me, Matt Hughes, and Shevchenko all on. They did a little screenshot, you know, like they do with the fighters. I felt a little weird with that one. It was a bit weird. Shevchenko in the middle of me and Matt Hughes on either side, like flanking her like we were a bodyguard. Not that she needs a fucking bodyguard. But still, I'm like, this is a weird shot. Anyway, Shevchenko, man, she's a badass. Great on the floor. Excellent wrestling. Excellent cardio. Knockout power. Ridiculous striking. We all saw the head kick of Jessica Eye, but that's not the only time she's done that. Beautiful spinning back kicks. Just massive amounts of confidence. When she's not in the octagon, she's, you know, she's out there, she's shooting on gun ranges, she's doing all kinds of stuff. Which in Kyrgyzstan, she went there recently, and there was just the president was there, thousands of people came out in the streets. I mean, she's really a huge deal now, and she's got all the momentum riding her way. But as I said, Chookagian, don't underestimate her in this fight. This is it's a tough fight for Caitlin, and you got to think that Shevchenko is the favorite. But I'm telling you, Chookagian's got something.
I think so, too. We'll see. By the way, Harrington, make sure before we get into picks, because we're going to do official picks for this card in a little bit, and obviously we have to talk about John Jones. We have an entire expose on John Jones that Harrington helped put together, so we should really try to move into that somewhat soon. But Harrington, make sure you get all of our BIMCoin totals ready, because I want to win this weekend big, and I have some good ideas here.
All right, guys. This weekend, John Jones taking on Dominic Reyes, the undefeated challenger. Maybe you listen to this show, you listen to the wisdom in mixed martial arts, the arts of mixed martial that we give to you every week, and you feel like you know who's going to win. You need somewhere reputable to put money down, to make some money. You need a business that has been in business for over 20 years, that is 5-star plus reviewed on all review sites. Maybe it's got over 20,000 reviews saying this site is the bollocks. Well, what am I talking about? I'm talking about betdsi.com. As we know, If you've got money on a sporting event, it's way better. Go to betdsi.com. They've built a history on fast payments of winnings, and they offer great odds, Lewis.
And on top of that, the best thing ever is 24/7 customer service on Christmas morning, Easter, doesn't matter. If you're gambling, if you have a problem like I have, let me tell you something. If you're away from your family in a shed, you can call them and be like, where's my fucking money? All right, I didn't buy my kids any Christmas gifts this year because I lost everything, which has happened to me many a times. But you are probably smarter than me. If you just take Michael Bisping's picks every week, you'll probably make some money, okay? And BetDSI has the best odds available anywhere else, okay? This weekend, we got John Jones versus Dominic Reyes. Dominic Reyes being a plus 335 underdog. I'm telling you right now, that's a sweet bet right there. That means for every $100 you put down, you get $333 or $335 in profit. So you put $100 down, you get $335 back on top of the $100. That's a really, really good bet. Obviously, we're going to break this fight down right now, and we're going to get into it with official picks. But I'm going to tell you right now, those are some sweet odds. And if you take the bet at BetDSI, we actually give you a bonus match. Bisping, we're just giving shit away right now. All you got to do is use the promo code BYM120, and you get a 60% bonus match on anything up to $1,000. So now your $100 becomes $160. Holy shit, you're going to get rich this weekend. BetDSI.com, make sure you use that promo code BYM120. Yeah, so look, let's move over to the main event if you want to right now, because I know we have Harrington pulled up a bunch of stuff on John Jones. We wanted to look a little bit more at John Jones and his career, because he is... Love him or hate him, John Jones is polarizing, right? He gets people talking about him no matter what. He is one of the biggest stars in the UFC and debatably, you know, debatably the most talented fighter to ever fight, period. Right? Fighting. Yeah. We're talking about mixed martial arts. That's fucking fighting. Forget boxing. Forget kickboxing. Forget anything else. This is as close to fighting as possible. John Jones, it's up for debate that he's the best man to ever do it. So, you know, it's a weird...
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, just on that point there, it's up for debate whether or not he's the best to ever do it or not. The only reason you say it's up for debate is because of the asterisks, because of the performance-enhancing drugs. But if you want to talk about is he the best to ever do it, if you forget about that for 1 second, in my mind, it's not even a conversation. He's by far the best to ever do it. And he was talking recently about Israel Adesanya and Hawani was asking, you know, because Adesanya is kind of vying for that fight a little bit. And Jones was just like, he was very, very dismissive. And no disrespect to Adesanya, but I understand where Jones is coming from. If you look at the level of competition that he's fought consistently at the highest level, the way he beats them, champion after champion after champion after legend, I mean, you name it. So now he's got to a point where he's taking on guys, and again, no disrespect to these guys, at Dominic Reyes, Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, who a lot of them were middleweights, but they don't have the same star power of a Rampage or a Shogun or whatever, because he's took all them out. He took all them out. He did it in style. He's tossed them to the side, and now he's on new blood. And as he said, he's going through generations of fighters inside the UFC at the highest level, right, when the pressure is on in main events and getting the fucking job done. And most of the time, beating them at their own game. When he fought Glover Teixeira, everyone was like, oh, he's got to be careful because Glover's going to get on the inside and use the boxing. John Jones said, fuck that. Let's stand and trade in the pocket all day long. Let's exchange knees and elbows and dirty boxing up against the fence. And he beat him at his own fucking game. Of course, the reason people don't give him the respect that he is deserved is because of the public perception, because of the scandal, because of the steroids, because of the accident, the DUIs, all the trouble that he gets himself into. So where do you want to start with all that, Lewis? Because we should talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can just look at his career just in general. But I have a question, because as you're talking about John Jones and saying he's the best to ever do it, I wonder, do you, when you watch John Jones as a fighter, right, even when you were active as a fighter, do you ever look at him being like, shit, like he's doing things that other people can't do? Do you recognize that, like, as sort of like, I'm assuming the way basketball players would look at like a Jordan and be like, shit, he's just like the best. Now that you're not fighting, competing, you'll never cross paths with that guy. Can you sort of look back and ever sort of remembering a moment watching him coming up and being like, holy shit, this guy is something special?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just trying to find it now. UFC 100, he fought Jake O'Brien. And I fought Dan Henderson, and we were in the same locker room. I didn't know John Jones from a fucking, you know, I didn't know him from anyone, you know. So all I saw was this guy, though, in the locker room warming up, and I just thought, fuck me, look at this guy. And he looked like a beast. he did, just like the double legs, the speed, everything he was doing. I was like, fuck me, this guy's got something. And he went out there, UFC 101, by a guillotine choke. I think it was the first round, second round, pardon me. And then he just went on a fucking tear, right? And just, all right, he fought Matt Hamill, destroyed Matt Hamill as well. Listen, that's the only loss on his record, which is bullshit. He got disqualified. We all know that was bullshit. But Matt Hamill at that time was a tough motherfucker. And he just went on a tear. Brandon Vera was at the top of his game when he fucking destroyed him. Ryan Bader, Shogun, Rampage, Machida, Rashad, Vito Belfort, Chael Sonnen, Gustafsson, Teixeira, Cormier.
When you rewind for a second during that little era of, you know, Rashad and Machida, and you got to understand, these guys were unfucking beatable. When John Jones went in, those were the guys that were like, oh, you just can't beat these guys. Like the way he choked out Machida standing and then just let him go. And was like, yeah, I'm the fucking man here. And then walked away. Look, people were like, how rude of John Jones. It's a fucking cage fight. I don't give a shit. I mean, at that point, it's fine. He just choked him out. That's probably more brutal than letting him fall onto a canvas.
So here's the thing, though. To answer your question, what did I think? When I saw him doing that to those opponents, I remember thinking, wow, he's incredible. But then also, and I'm not sure where it comes from, a lot of fighters are like this. You look and you see weaknesses, and a lot of fans do this as well. You know, you see a weakness and you put too much emphasis on that and you forget about the great stuff that they do. You know, like Lyoto Machida, prior to getting choked and conscious, wobbled him, hit him with a right hand. I think it was a right or a left. As Jones was walking forward, caught him with a good shot because Jones doesn't have the best boxing. And everyone was like, oh, he's hittable. And he was wobbled there off Machida. And Machida could have followed it up and whatnot. If he didn't just get choked out unconscious and dropped on the floor like a sack of fucking potatoes. You know what I mean? And it's weird as fans and as analysts and as other fighters, you put too much emphasis on the negative, the little one negative. Oh, he got shot. He was in a world fucking title fight. You're supposed to get hit with a shot here and there. Yeah. As my old boxing coach used to say, you can't go in the rain without getting wet. You know what I mean? You're going to go in a fight. It's a good chance you're going to get fucking caught with a shot here and there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, people would always go like, John Jones, he doesn't like getting hit. Well, I mean, nobody likes getting hit. This is why he's pretty good at avoiding it. It's probably he's pretty good at dealing with it when it does happen. I think that maybe, you know what it was? Maybe it's just so rare and John's so good that when he does get hit, it seems more impactful. You know what I'm saying? Like other guys, like some of those shots that these, Diego Sanchez, the wars he goes in, he just gets hit 1,000 times a fight. You're not going like, oh, he got it. You're like, yeah, of course, it's Diego. He just goes in there for firefights. Jones goes in with a very strategic game plan, and he takes his opponents, very similar to George St. Pierre, takes his opponents out of their strength and implements his strengths against their weaknesses.
The thing with John Jones as well, you got to remember, he's got an 84-inch reach. He knows how to use it. He's very, very smart as well. You know, when you listen to him talk, he's not an idiot. He doesn't talk like I do. Waffle, random bullshit out of his mouth. And actually, I'm thinking of the next word as I'm saying the sentence. What am I going to say next? He's composed. He knows what he's going to say. He's a smart guy, and he fights very smart and very cerebral. And he knows he's got very good gifts. He's got a very excellent fight mind. He's got a high IQ. He's got excellent wrestling, tons of experience, beat the best in the world, took out Daniel Cormier twice, asterisk or not. That's not a fucking easy thing to do. But when you look at him, certainly in his last few fights against Gustafsson and Thiago Santos and people like that, you look and you think you see someone that's beatable. And the cliche thing that people say is they say, well, you know, he fights to the level of his opponent. When his opponents are better, you know, then he fights better. And that may be true. And so you look and you think, I can beat this guy. And I've thought that. I've thought, yeah, you know, if I was, a bit bigger and I was a true light heavyweight, I reckon I could fucking have a good go here. But it's different. You often think that until you're in there. You know what I mean? And then they're just one step ahead. And the reach is just fucking too much for you. And you can't seem to get on the inside and you can't seem to land shit because every time you walk forward, you get a teep kick to the leg or you get a knee or a fucking elbow and he's grabbing your hands and
he's finger fucking your eyeballs.
Well, he does like to finger fucking eyeball here and there. As long as he wears a condom, I don't mind. But, you know, but you think you've got this formula to success. But it's not that easy when you're fucking in there. So when you look at him these days, you know, he isn't electrifying the audience like he once did. But the crown is a heavy burden to wear. I mean, look at George St. Pierre towards the end. You know, not the very end, because he did okay there. He got a stoppage in that one. Well, but towards the end, towards the end.
10% Bisping. I mean, come on.
Let's not go there. But you know what I'm saying? The pressure of being the greatest of all time, the pressure of all the sponsors, the pressure of all that stuff turned him into a more conservative fighter. Not as exciting as what he once was. But if someone's going to bring it and they're going to bring it to him, he's fucking still got that in there.
And I don't even know if that
GSP had it, and John Jones has fucking got it.
I don't even know if that he's that much more conservative. It's just we're talking about like he's at the absolute top of the game. It's always a number one contender. It's always the next best guy. There's never a gimme fight. I mean, I think most guys coming up, like, yeah, if John Jones could fucking beat Jake O'Brien to this day in any way that he wanted to, Jake O'Brien could have the best training camp of his fucking life. It's just a different level now. And John Jones, everyone he competes against, I'm sure that, like, you know, it must wear on you mentally as well, where you're like, fuck, dude, I don't want to lose it all. So every fight, you start to go like, shit, it is just a game of numbers. If you're realistic about it, and John Jones is a pretty articulate, smart guy, right? We like to bust his balls and talk about how he parties. But the reality is, like, he knows it's a game of numbers. Any given Sunday, he could lose. So that has to sort of like go like, fuck, dude, that pressure when you're on top, you need to stay on top. That's something that very few people in the world will understand.
And not just that, you know, maintaining the discipline that it takes to stay on top. Listen, as you just said, the partying thing, I mean, that kind of like, you know, a lot of people think of the scandals and some of the stuff he should be ashamed of. You know, he certainly should. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm focusing on the fight stuff. I'm not focusing on the hit and runs and all that type of stuff, the DUIs, all that. I'm talking about him as a fighter right now. To maintain that level, right, whilst you're doing all that stuff, it's not fucking easy. I'll never forget when he fought Rampage Jackson. Rampage trained in Denver at the Muscle Farm facility at altitude. And he famously said that he spent $1 million on that training camp. I'm not sure how accurate that is. But he certainly was looking good in that training camp. He was knocking people out. He did everything. He left no stone unturned. He had a very scientific approach. And Jones beat him. And beat him soundly. And I'll never forget, I think he choked him out in the third or the fourth round. And I was sat ringside. And I remember Dana White got up from his chair and he's walking past to wrap the belt around him. And he looked at me and he goes, wow, he's the fucking real deal, man. Mm. You know, because he just keeps running through people. Anyway, I'm remiss to say, unfortunately, I'm running out of time. So we're going to get into Dominic Reyes and give a pick real fast because it's not fair. Dominic Reyes, on the flip side, he has got a real challenge here. Dominic Reyes, undefeated. The danger of being undefeated is that your confidence is through the roof. And Dominic Reyes has a very fucking hard left hand. Okay, he punches hard. He's got a good wrestling background. He uses kicks to distract his opponent. He'll kick to the body. He'll kick to the head. He can knock people out going forwards. He can knock people out going backwards. He's the same height as John Jones. He is at a disadvantage in the reach department. But, you know, that's not always the be-all and said-all. I think if Jones mixes it up and looks to take him down, that'd be the path to success. But Reyes has shown time and time again, he was a pretty well-decorated high school wrestler. And he's shown in his fights he has got good balance, he's got good scrambling ability. Chris Weidman was able to take him down and he was able to get back to his feet. I mean, Weidman only got him down for a split second and then he bounced back up straight away and then, boom, left hand. Put him out, folded him like a lawn chair. He does have one punch knockout power. So this is a dangerous fight for John.
Mm.
You don't think?
Not really. I mean, look, the only X factor there is that we've never seen Dominic Reyes beaten. You know, who knows? Maybe he's the next John Jones, right? The best case scenario is that he's the next John Jones. He's the next guy that he's fighting right now. That's a fucking big mountain to climb right there. I think that, you know, Chris Weidman, I think he's great. I'm a fan of Chris Weidman. I have been. I'm a New Yorker, so all those Long Island guys, Matt Sarah, Chris Weidman, John Volante, like I've always liked those guys because they just sort of like remind me of fucking dudes that I knew growing up. But let's get real. Chris Weidman has lost 5 of his last 6. He's a middleweight, you know, at the end of his career. Yep. The fact that Reyes is getting a title shot off this fight, it's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow just in general.
But
Hold on, I agree with your point. But he's not just getting a title fight because, well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, he knocked out Chris Weidman. He beat Volkan Oezdemir. He beat Vincent Prue. Knocked out Jared Cannonier. The list goes on, right? He's undefeated, so obviously that's sellable. That's attractive to the viewer. But in the UFC, how many has it had? One, two, three, four. He's 6-0 in the UFC, and he's beaten solid competition. So the time is right now. Another side of it, regrettably, you know, is that there's no one left to challenge John Jones, and he needs challenges. He's pretty much cleaned out the division, so it makes sense. But I'm telling you, wouldn't it be crazy, because Jones is on the brink of totally cleaning out the light heavyweight division, to where people can say there's no one left for you to fight. You gotta go to heavyweight.
And I think he's already done it.
Could you imagine if he loses this one? He's about to go to heavyweight. He's cleaned out the division. He's got fucking massive, massive, massive life-changing legacy money fights ahead of him. And he gets knocked out against Dominic Reyes. I mean, that is fucking sod's law.
I would be embarrassed too. And the reality is, that's not crazy. That could happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I am tempted to put my money on Dominic Reyes because it is such a nice little spread right there. It's a sexy, sexy spread. $200. I ain't gonna lose $200, but $200 on a shit date, you know. There we go. He wins. There you go. Big money right there. But even if he did lose, luckily, I think John Jones could still go and do some incredible things at heavyweight. He could, you know, the angle there, the spin there, and we watched it happen with Conor. Conor lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, you know. He could go and say, hey, I was demotivated at 205. I cleaned out the division, young buck, whatever. You know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It wouldn't be ideal. I like that. Yeah, clip that, whatever the Bisping dance was?
I'm trying to stop you. Because, like, yes, yeah, you're right. Can he go there and make money and all the rest? Yeah, of course he can. But the legacy of being able to say, I cleaned out the entire fucking division, multiple generations of fighters, the best they had to offer, champion after champion. I cleaned them out and then I went and cleaned up at fucking heavyweight. That's better than saying I got knocked out in my last light heavyweight fight. Of course they can. Of course you could still do that. But, so here's the thing. We'll start leaning towards a pick. Like, in my mind, I was like, you know what? When I see the last fight against Thiago Santos, and a lot of people thought Thiago Santos, I mean, that was a close fight. And Thiago Santos completely blew his leg out in the first round. So when I see that, I think Dominic Reyes can do it. When I see the fight against Thiago Santos, I think Dominic Reyes can do this. He can pull this off. When I see the fight against Anthony Smith, I think he can do this and pull it off. When I see some other fights, I think, no, can he fuck? When I see him the way he took care of Alexander Gustafsson and all the other people, I think, no, Reyes is going to get fucked. But when I see those last couple of fights, I'm like, Reyes might have something. But then, do you know what keeps bringing me back to Jones winning? The fact that Jones beat Daniel Cormier two occasions, and on one of those occasions knocked him out, right? And I'm sorry, that's not a fucking easy thing to do. Because I'll tell you right now, if you ask me, you can pick one fighter from the UFC, you're going to be in a fucking serious street fight, you need some fucking backup, you can pick one guy from the UFC, I'd pick DC. For sure, all fucking day long. And Jones took him out twice.
I picked Jones.
You know what I'm saying?
In fact, I picked Jones twice.
I'd pick DC. I'd pick DC. Fuck him.
Well, you need to analyze your data, because I will tell you right now, Jones is the guy to pick.
On the street, it is not a mixed.
He's
going to
have some good coke. He's going to fucking, afterwards, you're going to go celebrate. You're going to go to a strip club. It's going to be a good time, bro.
I hear the argument. But listen, street fights, bro. I'm undefeated in fucking street fights. Stools, glasses,
are you?
Fucking headbutts. Bro.
Are you undefeated in street fights?
Yeah, unfortunately I am, yeah. And there's been more than a few, let me tell you.
Give me the official Bisping street fighting record. Is it like Hicks and Gracie, like 500-0? If you had to say your street fight record?
When I was a kid, I'd have two or three a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you were just that fucking dickhead. You were just ready. Like, the problem is,
I was always ready to throw down, and it was always my mates. They were always starting shit. We're going to keep it on John Jones and make picks. But, you know, I was young. I was young, and they were always older than me. And they, you know, not always then,
But most of the time they'd start shit, and then, like, you know, I'd be like, what, motherfucker? You mess with my mates, you mess with me, and boom, there you go. I was an idiot. I was young. I was dumb. I'm not proud of it, but I was a fucking wild motherfucker when I was young, let me tell you that. So I've had a lot of street fights, and I know on the street it's a different fucking kettle of fish. Give me DC all day. But anyway, Jones took him out twice. Whenever I think of that, I think, well, I just don't fancy your chances, Dominic Reyes. Yeah, for that reason.
I think DC would wipe the floor with Dominic Reyes.
Yeah. I mean, look what fucking DC did to so many heavyweights.
Yeah.
Josh Barnett, Bigfoot Silver. I mean, the fucking list goes on. I forget Stipe. Them all. You know, but then Stipe Miocic knocked him out in the first round that time. Second fight was a great fight. He did lose. They're going to have a trilogy. But you know what I mean? DC's up there, and Jones fucking beat him twice. Convincingly. First time was convincingly. Second time, he knocked him out. Do you know what I'm saying? So just on that alone, of course, Reyes has a chance. Of course, he does switch stances nicely, and he uses up his kicks in a way that'll offer a distraction to Jones so that Reyes could then land that big left hand. And he has a sneaky way of finding the uppercut. The uppercut gets in through as well. But still, all that, he's got a chance. He's got power. He's young. He's undefeated. He's confident. I just don't see. And I hope I eat my words, because I like Dominic. And we're getting him on the show on Monday if he wins.
Be a
if
better
he wins,
show.
He's coming on. If he loses, he's not going to fucking come on. He's like, oh, let's get you on the show and talk about that fight that you just lost. You want to do that? He's like, fuck no.
No, he can go on the Fighter and the Kid if he loses.
I like Lewis.
Only winners on this show, Brandon.
Where are they on the Forbes rich list of podcasts? And where are we? Do we even resonate? Jesus Christ, guys. 100,000 subs by the end of the year. By the way, that's YouTube. How many? We get a fair few downloads.
People are like, dude, how do you only have 60? No, we have hundreds of thousands of people that subscribe via other platforms, but the YouTube is the only one that's visible. Yeah, fine. You know, we're probably not registering in the top 300 even. Probably not the top 3,000. But I'm happy. I don't compare myself to other people. Once you start comparing yourself to other people, guess what? You lost.
Keep it sexy, bro. Keep it sexy. But you're right. See conversation at the start. We're not comparing ourselves to other people. You know, we don't give a damn what they think, as long as you do you. You do you. Stay true to yourself. Be who you are. That's what's really cool. Okay? But $30 million a year, that's pretty fucking cool as well. Mm. All right, let's make some official picks, because little Lucas Bisping needs picking up. I'd like to talk more on this subject. I really would. I'd like to talk to you some more. I really would. I don't sound genuine for some reason, but I really would. But his school's finishing in a minute. Rebecca's in Australia. I really would. No. You know, it's a tempting bet on betdsi.com, because the odds are good for Reyes, and I do see a path to victory for him. But I got Jones. I got Jones winning. But if I was putting money on it, I'd definitely put a few bucks on Reyes if I was going to, because there's a chance, and he's a fucking good underdog. He's a massive underdog, so it's worth putting a few bucks on, because if it comes off, you're great. And if not, if you're going to afford to lose $20, $30, whatever, take a shot. Take a shot, because it's worth it, because it's not – it wouldn't be the craziest upset in the world. It wouldn't be the biggest upset in the world. It wouldn't be as big as an upset of me knocking out Rockhold even, and I'll be humble enough to say that. Do you know what I mean? No. I think he has a shot to win this fight. I wouldn't pick him if you would put a gun to my head and say Jones all day. No, I would. But if you've got some money to waste, you know, an extra $20 lying around, throw it on Reyes, because he's got a good chance of doing it.
All right, my pick, I'm picking Jones, obviously. It's crazy. No way Reyes wins this fight. And I do like Dominic Reyes. I would say probably throw the parlay, Valentina, Shevchenko, John Jones, and Derek Lewis, all favorites. Harrington, what would that yield me if I threw $100 on that parlay? Valentina,
that's
Derek Lewis, and John
bet.
Jones. Yeah, they're
that's
all pretty safe.
What's that?
They're all pretty safe. He's going to tell me the odds on it right now, but I just feel like that. They're all pretty safe. It would be pretty big upsets either way. I'm assuming it's not going to be crazy odds, but I'm assuming you'll more than double your money, right? He's looking it up.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting one. I'm tempted to do that myself. Because I've got Jones winning. I've got Shevchenko winning. I've got Black Beast winning. So, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing a fucking parlay.
So, Lewis.
Parlay this weekend.
If you were to put $100 down on that, you would only net a little over $84.
It's almost doubling your money, though. That's a solid, but that's a way better bet than, yeah, fine, I put $100 in Dominic Reyes and I can get back $335, but you might as well just burn $100. It's not happening.
No, it's not. That parlay is not worth it. That parlay isn't worth it. If you put 100 on, you win 84 back, and you got three fights in the arts of mixed martial. It's hard, man. That's why a lot of the times I'm not the biggest gambler on fights, because it's so unpredictable, and one shot in those small gloves changes everything. And you've got three outcomes, not one, and you don't even double your money.
I'm putting it down. That's a solid bet right there. But you don't, not even doubling your money. If you think it's going to happen, you think it's going to happen. A better bet would be just putting money on John Jones. It's just guaranteed money in the bank almost. Harrington, you're a degenerate gambler. What do you think about this parlay?
Like Mike said, anything can happen with small gloves. Three fights is too many. If you're willing to bet big to win big, just put it all on John Jones. That's what I did with Conor McGregor last month, and I made a bunch of PYM coin on it.
What do you mean bet big to win big? Oh, you mean bet a shit ton of money and
just
then
put it all on Jones?
Yeah, but hold on, isn't Jones like a -350 or something favorite? So you'd have to put on $350 just to win 100. So if you put 100 on that parlay, you'd win 84, or you'd only lose 100. You wouldn't lose 300 and odd. So that doesn't make sense either. You know what I'm saying?
It's actually worse than that. It's -435 on BetTSI.
Fuck that noise. I'm doing the parlay. If you guys bet with me, trust me, you'll be safe. If you lose your rent money and you go with me, hit me up. I will give you your rent money back. Everything I say on this, everything I say on the show is a joke. Just know that.
Okay. All right. Well, stick my BYM coin. Oh, my BIM coin. How much BIM coin I got, Harrington? Where we at?
You are at 472. Lewis 400. Myself 544.82.
I'm putting all 400 BIM coin on my parlay. I'm about to fucking win big, baby boys.
All right. I'm gonna put 200 on the same parlay. Okay, but I'm gonna put 100 on Reyes. Hedge the bets, baby boy. Hedging bets. And on that note, guys, I'm sorry. I have Rebecca's in Australia, so I'm in a pickle time-wise. So I'm going to have to call it a day there. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Have a great weekend with your loved ones, with your family. Lewis, anything to say to the believers? Tell your friends. Tell them to subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. All that jazz. We appreciate it.
Go to our YouTube channel. Subscribe right now. Also, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. The entire on-demand library is available at your fingertips. Use that promo code BYM. iTunes, all that good stuff. That's it, man. We love you guys. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Monday with a complete review of this weekend's fights.